All right, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We'll begin with prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for being in our midst. I thank you for all the blessings you've blessed us with this week. Help us to go forward in you. Bless this whole day that we may be in union with all that the Holy Spirit wants to do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's see, last week we made it to verse 4, chapter 16 of our St. John in the communion class. Jesus is talking to them, telling them how things are going to be. Mm-hmm. He said in verse 1, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." Verse 4. "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now he's showing them something that's going to definitely happen. Everybody won't understand the move of God, and just last week, he talked to me about how sometimes anointed people hate the anointing in others. That's strong, isn't it? It's possible that even anointed people can hate the anointing in others. Like Saul, he threw a spear at David, tried to kill him. He feared him because he was wise, and he hated him because he was anointed.
Bring a little clarification.
I will.
I know you're working on it. Uh-huh. It's other anointed people that have allowed the enemy to get into their life.
Right.
Without even realizing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They hate other anointed people.
Well, they don't want to be outdone. That's right. One of the biggest things.
But that's not their spirit. That's their flesh.
Right.
That's
the flesh. Mm-hmm. Boy, that's good.
You yep. Nailed it.
So
that's why we gotta live inside out.
Right. Yeah. We gotta live according to the word.
Amen, girl.
And that's why praying in the spirit is so important.
Uh-huh.
And read the word. It keeps you there.
And not living from your flesh, not walking in your flesh, but in your spirit.
Now I did something just then. I went to the strongest measure, because you'll never forget it. When this is something the Lord brought to me, and I didn't know that it was possible. About a decade or so ago, I kept bumping into it, but I didn't understand it. And Saul's jealousy against David, and he tried to kill him. He didn't want to be. He loved his position more than the will of God. If anybody loves a position more than the will of God, this is what they'll do. Mm-hmm. Now, at this time, it was the Pharisees. They were in the seat of Moses. They were in place to do the work of God. And when Jesus came, they didn't receive him. They tried to kill him. They took him to court. They stirred the Romans up to have him crucified. And he's going to be crucified.
What they said was, we've got to take care of them, because the Romans are going to come and take our position away.
Mm-hmm. Same spirit.
They didn't want.
That was on Saul.
They wanted the authority and the power.
Mm-hmm. And he said, verse 4, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." People won't always understand the move of God, especially people that never got in the kingdom in the first place. So the world is not, it's going downstream, and we're going upstream. Jesus gave us the kingdom, and it's an overcoming, it's powerful. It's the most powerful way to live. The word of God, it enables you to be, it builds you up.
It does.
It causes you not only to be independent, but it enables you to be industrious in the face of opposition. Now, the world system is dependent. Everything about the world system, Satan's success depends on people giving him their success.
Yes.
That's good.
The devices that he uses makes you dependent. When a man get on drugs, he depends on the drugs to feel good. So it is with lust. You're dependent on somebody else all the time. And you're ignoring the fact that you're made in God's image. And it becomes impossible to be content. And they have no rest. And if you know, in chapter 8 of Isaiah, he said, he was showing the difference. In other words, he was saying at the end of chapter 8, if you don't make up your mind to follow God, you will be driven to darkness. If you do nothing at all, Satan's going to drive you to darkness.
Go downstream.
Downstream. You'll be swept away.
You'll automatically go downstream.
Well, it's easy to go downstream and take an effort to go up.
Yeah.
It helps. You got to have some help to go up.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you got the power boat, which is Holy Spirit.
Yeah. That's right.
Supercharged.
The Word of God charges our hearts so we can do these things.
Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
And people don't like to be... You become an industrious and you shed light. You destroy all the hiding places by doing the right thing. That's what the anointing does. It breaks yokes. Mm-hmm. You destroy the hiding place. You destroy the secrets. Mm. You expose it. When you live a strong life, the day you walk in the room, everything changes. And people know, well, I can't get over anymore here. Yes. And your love expels the hatred and the foolishness. And you live according to Christ, and it creates enemies. If people won't change, then they're blessed. They're going to be like you. You inspire them. Only people of faith can inspire people. If people that's not of faith, they can't inspire people. So When we do the word of God in the presence of people, when we do it right, it works. When we live according to the word of God, it works. And Satan's system don't work. It causes people to go south and be dependent. And when people compromise, you know, Satan always wins the compromise.
That's good.
If you Nehemiah proved it. He said all the mixed marriages. Now, the only kind of mixed marriage God don't like is when one loves God and one loves the world.
Mm-hmm.
So when every nation, wherever they were that married a Jew, the children spoke the language of that nation and they didn't speak Hebrew. And every time that they tried to blend with the nations, they always lost and Satan always won.
Every time.
Every time. And it was that much harder for people to swim upstream, so to speak. But, the Word of God was written by how many people? 60 people? It's 66 books written by what, 40 people?
Or? Yeah, it's 40 to 42 people over 1,500 years.
Yeah. Now, that's way less than 1% of the population. That's a fraction compared to the people that were born.
But really, it was written by God.
Yeah, but he had about 40 people that would walk the line and do what he said do, you know, and he did it because he keeps covenant. when he kept that covenant, he kept his covenant with Father Abraham. He made sure that the word was given to us.
You know, I'm glad you did say he's a covenant keeping God, because this is a covenant meal we're taking this morning.
That's right.
You have to remember that.
That's true.
It's all about covenant. And yet, I have reminded myself that a lot. He's covenant. Everything's about covenant with my Father.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have to take and remind myself of that daily. Sure do.
Yeah.
This is a covenant meal, and you got about 3 more minutes to do that.
All right. See, and every word that Jesus taught, it was true. It came to pass. Remember, he is on the way. He just left the Lord's Supper. He's on the way to Gethsemane, to the garden. And he, this is what he's teaching them. This is his last time. You know, he's preparing them for the church age. And they probably thought he was going to set up the kingdom right then. They didn't know what they expect.
They did. And like the rest of them did.
And what he's teaching them here is what we need to know now. Because anybody a person can side with the enemy at any time. A person can side with the enemy at any time. And sometimes at any moment. Even anointed people in their judgments can, you know. I've had anointed people to say things, you know, I go in prayer, the Lord will tell me something. Then he'll confirm it through anointed people. And then over a course of time, they might tell me not to do it. Same person. But they wasn't speaking under the anointing. When they was under the anointing, they said what God said. So it's not that they hate, you know, the church say come. The whole church say come. But there are divisions. They can exist. And people can compromise. And they can get into compromise, and they'll do what the enemy do. Good thing is we repent. Now, okay, with that being said, this is not about the person, it's about the warfare. I just wanted to clear that. It's the warfare. The struggle is always Satan trying to interrupt. So when people do you good, thank God, and when they do you wrong, pray for them and go forward. Expose the enemy for what he is and go forward. Okay, we'll pick up at verse 5 next time. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Jesus, we're communing with the Lord. We're learning his ways, his standards, his love. And as we apply it, we build a kingdom. He said, if you don't build with me, you scatter. So as we build with him, we create communion.
Amen, amen.
Verse
24. Well, you read that, I want to emphasize that we got to realize that we're coming in agreement with what he said.
Yes.
I was standing against something in my own body a couple of weeks ago, and the Lord just dropped it in my spirit. Come in agreement with what I said about this when you take it.
Yes.
I said, oh God, I'm in agreement with what you said about this, and this got to go.
Yeah, that's right.
I come in agreement with you. So I want y'all to come in agreement.
In agreement.
With what he says.
Mm-hmm. Sometime under a challenge, I'm reminded of what Brother Horton said. We're in the Father's house. I said, that thing's got to go. This week he said something that I always ask him questions about faith because I want to be able to use it whenever I need it. And this is what came. When you believe in God for something, don't look at what you're believing for. Look at all your faith looks to God. Always look at him. Watch him. And if there's any problem, he'll coach you into what to do. But watch him. Expect what's going to happen. It's got to happen. It's a standard. You set the standard. You said that whatever the problem was is healed. It's got to be healed. But watch God, and it works. In verse 24, Jesus speaking, he said, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 25, after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, as we commune with the Lord and in our fellowship with him, there are so many adjustments and things that the things he shares makes life plain. And it can benefit every part of our life. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you're doing. I thank you for all the history you've given us to study. Bless us to go forward in you, doing all that's in your heart, exposing the world for what it is. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen.